Welcome to the Once Upon a Leader in Africa podcast with George Nudu. We invite you to listen to influencers and opinion shapers narrating their experiences from their leadership roles in Africa, from the world of business, community development, government, corporate, social enterprise, among others. We will glean from their good, bad, and ugly side of their leadership journey and be inspired to overcome adversity, to pursue success against all odds, to be a great leader, and many other lessons. Welcome to the podcast, and here's George Nudu.
Hello, James. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yes, thank you for agreeing to come. And even as we begin this podcast, I just want to congratulate you. You know, I got to know you first from seeing you on the list of top 40 under 40 of last year. So welcome very much.
Thank you. It has been an honor. And I believe even being awarded as the top 40 under 40 in Kenya, it's a validation of the little contributions we are doing, and it's impacting the change that I had aspired, and I'm happy to see that there are good things and big things that can come from the humble backgrounds.
So tell us just about just the journey and the impact of just winning that award for you.
Ideally, it has been a journey from one level to another, and the same way they say, if you are climbing the stairs, you can't see the top. You have to start from where you are onwards, and it's gradual. One thing I've always been telling my colleagues and anyone who I interact with is that everything starts from where you are to where you want to be. And for me, my journey towards being visible and our activities being seen started from university, where I wanted just to impact change. It was just something to help my fellow youth. So through that, we have been able to create opportunities for other fellow youths to get opportunities and nurture their talent. Some of them have scholarships, some of them have been taken by corporates. And this has helped the community to be able to gain opportunities. We'll be able to discuss more about the whole business model later. But the thing is, it has always been every time we set a target that we want to be able to, for instance, nurture talent and have national champions. Once we achieve that, we set a new target. We want to expand and reach other regions. Once we were able to do in Nairobi, we went to Mombasa, to Kisumu, Uasin Gishu. We are now actually in Uganda and Tanzania and Rwanda. And we have recently started our initiative in South Sudan. So it has always been, once you attain a certain milestone, you go to the next. And I can say, once you do something good, also the universe and God is able to reward you back. And amidst COVID 2020, through the Kenya government and youth agenda, I was awarded as top 35 under 35 youth of the year in sports. Now, this was the first time chess was actually considered and it was merited. Remember, youth of the year in sports means you're competing against all other known sports, rugby, swimming, golf, name them. So it was something that, when they merited all the other sports and all the other sports personalities, be it players, be it coaches, be it anyone involved in any sport, being ranked by Youth Agenda and the government as top 35 under 35 youth of the year in sports, that was 2020, amidst all the COVID and everything. It was something. I believe at that time, it was about creativity because COVID had come, it had locked everything down, but I was able to see an opportunity to actually now reach out to the youth through the online platforms and where possible in small groups. You know, at that time, there was all these health issues and all that, so we couldn't do big groups. But in a way, we still were able to keep in touch with the youth, ensure that apart from just nurturing their talent, we are able to help them wherever possible. And also just even guidance and ensuring that their mental health was still prioritized and checked after. And after that, 2021, I was awarded by Forbes as a Forbes Africa 30 under 30 achiever. And I believe by the time now I was given the Forbes Forbes Africa 30 under 30, it was now another confirmation that our programs have always been good. However, I have always been very clear to not put my achievements or my successes enter into my head. You know, sometimes there's this aspect of when you start achieving and then you glide there and you stay there for a very long time. So I've always been, after every new milestone, after every new achievement, we now set what can we do greater. And it's always that growth that has seen me always do more and more. And 2023, I was awarded as the top 40 under 40 in Kenya. And that was a great honor.
And it's all because you are leading chess. You're leading an organization that chess.
Yes, it is a board game whereby we train the juniors and the youths how to play and to become good at it. And also providing for them opportunities, not only now being players, but also they can be arbiters. Arbiters is like referee. They can be coaches. They can be organizers. So we try and also help them to do well. As well, just because of them doing very well, we have a number of players who have been able to get scholarships, be it high school scholarship, university scholarship. Some of them have been taken by corporates. So big clubs, KCB Bank or Lighthouse Chess Club, among other clubs. So, and those ones, you see, by the time they are being taken by corporates and other big clubs, they are now earning from their talent. So it's always about just giving, nurturing them. They enjoy the sport while also they can actually earn or help their families get out of wherever they are from.
So you've won three big awards from 2020, 2021, and then 2023. So tell us, what has been the reason of you getting these awards?
This is my perspective. However, I have actually been, you know, as you discuss with people start telling you how it has been and all that. Plus, I've also tried to understand the merits and how they do it, because sometimes you also like to know how the process was and what you do. When they started, let me use like the first award that I got, the big award, the top 35 under 35 youth of the day in sport in Kenya. They merited now the sports personality. And they wanted to see, apart from what you do, the next big thing is how much impact are you giving? How are your contributions a positive example to other youths and other sports personalities? And it was an honor that I was able to be ranked as the top in the sports category. By the time 2021, the Forbes were ranking Forbes Africa 30 under 30, their big question was, whichever initiative you are doing, is it having the relevance or is it something Forbes can actually say, this is a good venture, this is a good business, or it's a model they can subscribe and tell people to do? They also wanted to see, is it and actually making revenues or you just there as, you know, they needed to see, how can they tell other youths you can actually do a business in sports and what are you doing and all that? So they merited and they selected 30 youths in Africa, and I was one of the 30. In 2021, I was the only Kenyan selected. So that was a big honor as well, that when they looked at 30 youths in Africa, I was one of the 30. So that was also a big honor. When it came to this, the final, the recent one, 2023 of 40 under 40 achievement, it was also again on the merits of the business model, how you are doing, the impact you are doing, and everything towards showing the best that is happening in Kenya. And I'm honored that when they checked on the business models and everything that is happening in Kenya, I was among the 40 under 40 men selected.
And congratulations. Wow, that is amazing. That's amazing. So you have been selected to be under 30 and under 40. So what really are you under? Which age gap are you under?
I just 30. Yes. That's so crazy. Legally, I could actually win another under 30. But yeah, so having won under 30, under 35, under 40 is a big honor. And one, I have always believed that youths can be able to do great things. And one way I've always done this is ensuring that I shake the status quo and make sure that I break the ceiling. So there are some stereotypes that are there, and even some of the projects I've been doing and other programs, you find people coming, very close people now in those spheres or in those departments, and they tell you, you can see it's only the old guard, you just look at everyone else in that level and all that. So just give time. By the time you're that age, you'll be able to achieve that. You know, and if you accept, yes, it is true, that might be the current status quo, but doesn't mean it has to be that. So provided you do what is expected, nothing comes on a silver platter. You'll have definitely to do a lot of hard work. And when you're actually fighting against the status quo, it means you have actually to work extra hard. And I believe everything is possible. And this has enabled me to actually get a number of, apart from just now the awards, even professionally in my own sports career, I've been able to get opportunities, not only by our national federation, but also Africa Confederation and also the World Chess Federation. So I've been able to actually get opportunities globally. And it's all because they're able to see that the work ethics and whatever you're doing, whatever you touch, you have that Midas touch. You're able to actually see it to fruition. And that's the most important thing.
So now tell us, and really wonderful context you've put and background you've given to us. So currently, what's your leadership responsibility or role?
I am the founder and CEO of Epitome School of Chess. It's a chess academy that nurtures and trains the juniors and youths. We started in Kenya, and that's where our major offices and most of our programs are there. And from that, we have been able to have now programs in South Sudan, we have programs in Uganda, and we have partner programs in Tanzania as well. So it has been a journey whereby once we are able to ensure we tap the talent or nurture the youths, ensure that we give them the opportunities that are there. I met chess when I was in university professionally. So when I played and it was now at the professional level, I had an urge or an interest, not only now to just become good as James, but to give an opportunity to other juniors and youths so that they can actually nurture their talents while they are still younger. Because I didn't have the opportunity to play it when I was younger, but now I thought, how can I actually impact the change and give it to the juniors and the youths so that they actually embrace their talent so that they learn it earlier? So that is how Epitome School of Chess came. We started as a community program, and we have grown to this date.
You found that and you lead that.
Yes.
When can you say your leadership journey began?
My leadership journey started when I started with now a number of my friends, community programs. And the idea I had was to do trainings and nurture the youths, not only from the urban areas, but also outskirts. So we started from an outskirt of Nairobi in Roy area, and also in Machakos, an outskirt called Mavoko. So the idea at that point was we nurture them on the talent. We had to, chess was an easier sport for me. One, because the equipment that we required was only a chess board. You know, for most of the other sports, we will need, if it's football, we needed a field or a track somewhere. Swimming, you need a swimming pool. You know, there are various sports that need specific equipment or facilities to be able to do. For chess, it was just the chess board. Two, chess was a good sport personally to me because it's a sport that it's a mental game. So it builds the mental fortitude. It shows the players about problem solving skills, critical thinking, and it just enables them to be able to be an all-rounded human being who can actually solve whichever issue that they face in life. Through that, we have actually worked. Now, as we were working with the community programs, we partnered with a number of community-based organizations. And we have actually seen some of the opportunities whereby there are youths who were living in slums or in other very poor background, but they have been able to actually uplift their families to a better status just because now they are talented in a sport or they are good and there are other well-wishers and sponsors who come in to support them. So my journey started while I was in university. I was actually a second year. So it was tough juggling between academics and the community programs. But because it was my passion and I wanted to help the youth and my fellow and every other junior in the communities. I was able to work towards creating balance. So on Fridays and weekends, when I had some time, I was able now to offer my support and, where possible, create the program so that we are able to have somebody work with the community programs when I'm not there. As a university student, definitely finances was another issue. So the other thing that I had to do was, how do I raise the capital and required resources? So I started with like brand ambassadors. I was now, I got a number of employment opportunities that could still handle, one, me being in school, two, my community program, and still trying to raise funds. The good thing now, when I was there, I was able to meet a number of people and I could share with them the idea I had. So we were able to raise a number of, not only now finances, but equipment. So sometimes we could now tell people, our main aspect here is, can we get the chessboards? Can we get the materials? So we were able now to have a number of whatever we needed, the resources we needed. And we now grew from the community programs and had our centers. So our centers came right after I graduated. I graduated in 2016, December. So 2017, that's when now officially we had our centers, because now at that point I could concentrate on it fully.
You talked about finances, the challenges. So share with us some other challenges that you have had in your journey.
So being, even our name states, Epitome School of Chess, we value ourselves as, one, a school that nurtures chess and other talents, as well as an organization that empowers the youth. So we try and link them with other organizations or opportunities so that they continue in their academics or in their career, whichever line they choose. So we work with the juniors and youths. We have to align ourselves with the Minister of Education. We had to align ourselves with the Minister of Sports. It was a lot of paperwork at the start. However, I believe when you have the vision and you have the goal, you are determined towards achieving something. We were able to actually get all the certifications and the approvals here in Kenya. And when you think you have done it, we had COVID again. All our centers are physical. We hadn't embraced online that much then. So we had now to restructure and have our programs online. And that enabled us now to be able to meet our students, but also we had other youth programs, because there are those who are not in chess, but we are able to actually still mentor them in other financial literacy and, you know, other aspects that youths go through. Post-COVID, we now have a balance between online and physical. Then here in Kenya, we have the change of curricula. Now we have the CBC. When now they have the competency-based curriculum from the previous curriculum, now we also had now to realign our programs towards what they have. So sometimes it's always the challenges have come in phases and in periods. Some of them is in our line of programs. Some of them is because of governmental structure and, you know, other areas, depending with what regulations we have to abide to. However, one thing that I've always seen, that every challenge is an opportunity to actually grow and become better. Because after every challenge we have handled, we have actually emerged better. My vision, and I've always joked with my colleagues that we have to be the first in everything that we do. So we always see what are others doing and then what has not been done so that we actually do that. And every time we have actually had a challenge, whenever we have successfully handled it, we always happen to, everyone is, we hadn't thought about it that way. We hadn't thought this is possible. So to me, challenges, yes, They can look threatening. Some of them can be tedious, be it if it's something that you have to abide to the government regulations, or even in chess, we have to be affiliated to our national body, Chess Kenya Federation, or the international body. But through that, we have actually, our structures have been better because we have been able to successfully implement better ways of working, and that's how we have reached here.
What do you enjoy most about what you do as you lead your organization?
Being a leader with a sports organization, most of the people we handle, the juniors, the youth, and all that. However, a sport like chess cuts across. We have trainings that start from age 5 to age 70. Now, what makes me happy and enjoy what I do is when we see that we actually are able to start a community program in Uasin Gishu, or we start a community program in Machakos, and within a period of time, those juniors or the youths are now champions in whatever they do, or some of them have gotten scholarships. You know, sometimes it's always about seeing an idea come to success and actually seeing the target market or the people who we intended to benefit from it actually achieve even greater. So I believe that when we have been able to see success, it's something good. The other thing that has made me enjoy what I do is the partnerships. So as we speak, we have partnered with not only organizations here in Kenya, but also even in UK, like Greenwich Peninsula Chess Club, that has been very instrumental. We have partnered with even other top players like grandmasters, who have given us equipment and support in trainings and all that. So it's such opportunities whereby whatever we are doing, people are seeing the benefit and they're coming to support us. You know, when another organization is coming and says, we will actually help you here, or how can we be of help? What will you need? And when you give them your outline of we will seek support in A or B, we need resources or training or such an empowerment in an area, and they're willing and ready to support, it's enjoyable to know that whatever we are doing is validated by others.
You know, it's fascinating, you know, as I'm hearing you talk and you're talking about chess. You know, chess, I confess, I see chess. We used to have it in school. There used to be even a chess club in our school, in high school. I never got to engage in it. In fact, the other day I was just thinking to myself, I need to learn about chess. You know, maybe we'll talk here after. But I'm just wondering, for you, what sparked that passion for chess that even now you're earning a living out of it? How did it all start?
So earlier, similar to what you're saying, while I was in school, there were a number of students who were doing chess. However, here in Kenya, it has not been put in the public school sports per se. So it hasn't been getting the funding from the government. So it's more of like those who are able to self-sponsor, or a school that is now knows the benefits of chess and now they are sponsoring or they have sought support from elsewhere, but it has not been fully embraced by the government and such organizations. So the idea I had was when I met chess now professionally in university, it's something that I had seen chess, I had learned some basics, but I hadn't gotten the opportunity to actually do it at the top level. And when I got it, I was like, this is a very interesting game. You can actually play it from wherever. So I took it upon myself to be able to learn everything. And interestingly enough, by the time I was even now learning all that, I actually had an interest, not only now as a player, but as a coach and as an arbiter. Arbiter is like a referee. So joining the field of arbiters, quickly my work ethics was spotted, and you know, there are those now who was giving me opportunities, not only in their private competitions, but now even nationally. And there were people who will say, very soon you'll actually be the top arbiter in Kenya and in Africa. And, you know, it was like they could see something. But a few years later, I'm currently the top arbiter in Kenya, one of the top in Africa, and I have arbitrated in the world severally. So getting such opportunities. What I believe is the interest came from having learned the little I knew and wanting to learn more. You know, in everything, it's always about the interest and wanting to know more. There is nothing easy. Or you might see the athletes running and actually sprinting and winning, but the amount of hours, the amount of days they have put into it. So there's always the behind the scenes. So apart from just having the interest, yes, I work toward adding my knowledge and skill in it. And I have been able to actually be among the top in, okay, literally everything I have touched, especially in the sport area. And I know that it's such interest that has made me to be one of the top coaches in Kenya, one of the, now the current top arbiter in Kenya. And our organization is doing great things in our own small way. We always say we make small steps in a big way. So it's one way I have always known is in anything that you do, just ensure you do it well.
So even as you get these opportunities of leadership, you know, because as you have said, it has been a journey. What do you do to keep your leadership edge sharp? Because you know what you're doing, you're leading in all these things. How do you keep yourself sharp as a leader?
One thing I've always, I had a number of my friends who earlier, I wasn't a fan of reading books and you know, I could read here and there, but there's that culture. And I have actually noticed that anything that you do, you need to build a culture. So one way that has enabled me to actually be at the top or ensure that my edge and I'm sharp at whatever we do is to ensure that in everything we do, we are not contented at that point. I believe good is not good enough. So you can actually be running a business and yes, you are managing it well, you have the financials at where you will require and all that, but there's always something you can do more. So for me, I always challenge myself. So it's always about, this is where I am, this is what we are doing, but what can we do different? And as I said, even when I achieve the achievements or when I get any opportunity, it's always about setting new milestones and ensuring that at whatever point I am at, I always see what can I do to actually become better. Every time that you do something, it's always, yes, let me say, we always do our best in everything. Even if you're in study, in school, you'll definitely do your study, you'll do your part. There are those who will actually be A students, there are those who might not and be a B student or a C student. But at whatever point you are at, it's always about becoming the best out of you. So I compare whatever I do with others or compare our programs with other organizations and other platforms or programs that are happening. But everything that I do or I actually handle, I always see that we become the best of ourselves. That way, we are always better and better every time. So by the time we actually meet in another month or in another 6 months, I always ensure that there's something extra in my own small way that has become better. So that way, there's always growth.
Yes, there's always growth, definitely. If you are to redo your leadership again, start all over again, what would you do differently?
One thing I would do is I would embrace networking earlier. You know, when you start an organization or you start a program, there is that fear about collaborations or sometimes you actually even try, because even when we were starting, we tried to seek a helping hand from other people or organizations that we saw that could help. And definitely whenever you start, it's always about everyone wants to see what are you doing and all that. So you might not be at that point, at the level they would want. But what I would tell my younger self, if, for instance, I were to redo this thing, is go fully at it, seek the networking, the collaborations. I have actually learned that most of our programs have been successful because we are able to partner with like-minded organizations and people. And one other thing that I have actually noticed is throughout the journey, sometimes there were points I could limit myself, and I was like, this we will do it later when we are a bigger. But I believe whenever you have the idea, see what it's possible, and with the little resources you have, start it. Actually, in business, one thing I've learned is you have an idea. It's crazy. It seems it's not possible, but you don't have to start something that is national. Start it from that village, or start it from that community, that estate you are at. And then from there, you'll actually grow to wherever you want to be. So delaying some ideas, yes, sometimes it's possible. It might be necessary because of resources and all that. But actually, with what we do currently is, with whatever resource we have, we start that small program, and things pick up from there.
That's good advice. What is one of the, or some of the best advice you've ever received?
One of the best advice I've ever received, there are so many things that I've been told, but the one that actually has stuck with me is, your team is as strong as your weakest team player. So similar to a chain is as strong as the weakest link. I've learned that I can be a good leader and I can have a number of good people in my team. But so long as we have several people or an individual who is working with us, but they're struggling or they're not at par with where we would expect, that can actually lead to our organization not achieving what we would want. So one thing I've always ensured is, if you're working with me in the same team, I will ensure that we grow you so that you also have the same leadership skills and you're able to be as visionary and as skilled as we would expect. Definitely different people are in different departments and all that, but in whichever way we are interacting, it's always important to see that everyone is growing. So if I'm working with my team, in another 2 years, everyone is always, we always do, is more of like a continuous assessment. So this is what you are doing last year. So what are you doing new? What are your own investment programs? It's always about ensuring that not only that I grow individually, but as a team. And that way, we have actually been able to do far much greater, because everyone is, in their own way, visionary.
Wow, that's amazing. You've told us that you started this organization, you've gone to the machinanis, you know, we say down to the down level, you've gotten to a level, even now nationally, and even continental and global, focusing on just Africa, you know, with the interactions that you've had at that continental level, and seeing the potential that we have. You know, we say Africa is the youngest continent in the world. You know, we are young. So what kind of leadership, you know, generally, do we need as a continent to fully exploit the potential that God has endowed unto us?
As Africa, one thing I've always believed is working together. And that unity and being able to collaborate as Africa or as Africans in whatever we do is going to take us far. I have always noticed whenever, particularly in sports and even in chess, you find the way the European Union and their actions and activities, they are very united as a continent. If you go to America, for instance, they are very united. And here in Africa, you find that most of the programs, even individually per country, Everyone wants to do their own thing. Yes, you'll do something good in Namibia, another one in Malawi, another one in South Africa. Everyone is doing their good activity. But if we are able to actually work together, yes, because of geographical differences, everyone will be in their various regions or country. But at some point, we are able to sort of like benchmark and take notes. This is what we are doing in Kenya. What are you doing in Uganda? I believe this can actually work there as well. Sometimes not being selfish with our own knowledge and experiences, because the experiences that I have gone through that actually can help somebody else in a different region, and they do not have to go through the same experience, because if I share with them the experience, actually they are now able to venture into that business or venture into that program well knowledgeable and understanding the pros and cons and the hurdles where to handle it. The other thing that Africa needs is starting. We need to create our own platforms, our own programs. And if help is coming, if finances or support is coming, let it find us already having started the journey. So there's one other aspect I've seen whereby we always have very good ideas, very good visions, but we limit ourselves that we wait for funding to come or for support to come. So sometimes it's always about we start, and actually everyone else will see that there's something that is happening in Africa, and actually they will now want a share of our cake. So that's the most important part.
I like that, and well said. You are in the sports industry. You know,
yes.
Chess is part of sports, and sports is a big income generator, an opportunity for employment. And I mean, you look at the West and other countries that have invested in that, you find that it has benefited the community, the country. So you being even as a leader in that industry, what are some of the traits and aspects you have seen leaders in the sports field need to really successfully lead the industry for the benefit of everyone?
One thing I have seen, especially in the sports industry, sports is sort of like a service industry whereby you are nurturing talent, you are training. So it's more of like a service, because if you're training football or rugby, whatever, you're not like giving a physical ball. You're training. So in most of the sports aspect, we can count it as a service industry. And when we look at service industries, the other most important thing that happens is about client satisfaction, or whoever you are, the client target, the target market is. So are you able to actually achieve what other people expect of you? Because if you're a teacher, it is expected that when you actually do the teaching, the students are supposed to understand the concept and actually do well given an exam. So in a sports industry setup, it's always about being able to not only train or nurture talent, but also to see that whatever program you're doing, there is the value addition. That's usually very important. And return of investment. ROI is always important, not only just because of financial implications, but also of time. Somebody cannot come and do a program while another year or two, there's nothing that has happened or changed. So in the sports industry, the other thing I've actually seen that is very relevant for leaders, and it's a competency that I would say it's needed to succeed, is visibility. You can do very good things, but so long as it's only you who know, there's nothing that is there. If you're doing a good thing, the students or the programs you are doing will actually take note that there are champions coming from there or the opportunities that are coming there. So if you're doing it right, the visibility will actually come. You don't have to force it. Even if you're doing something wrong, even if you go to all media houses, they won't air your story. But if you're doing it right, visibility is important. And for any leader, the first thing I would always say is ensure you're doing it right, the value addition in whatever you're doing. And the other thing, especially in sports, good personal relations. You're handling people, you're working with people. So how you are able to interact with them, it's always about your discipline and character, because you can also be very good at it, but if you are not able to be disciplined in front of people, or even your character, if you're not able to actually check on what you're doing, then that can actually lead to your downfall. So all leaders, especially in sports, it's always important to ensure that they do it right, they have the value addition in whatever they do, and yes, have the discipline and character in what they do. And I've always known that if you do something right, in one way or another, it will actually succeed. Some programs will take 3 months, some programs will take a year, but if you keep at it, it's going to work. Just ensure you obviously have to do evaluations on what you do.
Yes, I like that. So if there's a young new business leader seated with you and asking you for advice, you know, look at, wow, the awards that you've won, the work that you are doing, and the opportunities that you have, what do I need to start doing now as I begin this journey to get where you are? What would you advise them?
To any newly appointed leader, or, you know, if whatever level you are at, CEO, provided you're leading people and you're doing something, or even in your own business, this might sound cliche, but I'll say it as it is you need to set targets. And when you're handling people, have group targets. Sometimes I might set targets that I see it's doable, I see it's something we can do, but the rest of my team are like, that looks big for us, or it looks exaggerated. And sometimes you have to be able to have group targets so that all of you are on the same page. You can be a leader, you can have very good ideas, but so long as the others do not have the same vision or same idea with you, you might not go as far as you want. So have the group targets. And when you're setting targets, we've always followed the SMART goals, whereby it has to be specific, it has to be measurable. You know, you have to be able to have the time frame that you need. So agree that with your team so that you're able to now work together. The other thing that I always say is have periodic review. So that reviews that you can do 3 months or 6 months, but you always have to see this is what you're doing and what you can do better. Yes, you can actually have the periodic review and you're doing very well. If it's finances, you're profitable. You are already attaining the goals that you have. So the next thing is always work towards growth. I've always challenged my team towards expanding. If a program we start in one of the regions, one of the counties in Kenya, or when we went to South Sudan or in Uganda, we start a program. If it's already working in Kampala, why are we not having the same program in Entebbe? Or, you know, it's always about the expansion. For businesses and most of those programs, how you expand, how you grow, will be able to give you more opportunities and more revenue streams and all that. Similar to how we always say that don't put your eggs in one basket. So it's the same thing. So in business, yes, you can have a good business and there are several ways to grow. You can grow with different products. If you're producing or you're offering services, you can have several services so that even if one service will not be working at the top level at that point, another one will actually be the one performing, but also expansion. So for any new leader, it's just important for you to be able to have group targets, do periodic reviews, and ensure you expand your business. So don't be comfortable with good reports and being profitable. Expand the business.
Expand the business. You need to want to grow, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, then. You are young, you're 30. Do you think about legacy, the legacy that you'd like to leave behind?
Yes. One thing I've always known is everything you do will have a ripple effect. So if you're doing a good thing, it's going to actually impact positive aspects to people, similar to any vice or a bad thing. However, a legacy comes from something that will be there even after you. It's similar to the way even businesses that the businesses that continue in fruition and become even bigger after the person who founded it or those people who started it. For the legacy I would like to leave, one thing I always do, I have benchmarked on how other people are doing. And for Africa, I would like to ensure that Africa has similar opportunities and has similar platforms whereby we are able to actually create our own talent academies. You know, if you look at how other continents have, if you want to enter into any of those big football clubs, they have their talent academies in Europe. And you go there, you learn from there, then you're picked by those big clubs. But that doesn't mean we can't have our own in Kenya or in Africa, similar to basketball. We recently saw that, for instance, basketball, they had some of those big championships in Rwanda. And there are those things that it's about setting the structures. I believe that I would love to ensure I create a structure or a program whereby the youth can be able to do whatever while they are still here in Africa. So ensuring that we have the platforms and the structures required. And the most important thing, I would like to ensure that sport can also be considered a career like any other. When I went to school, I'm an economist by profession, and I'm actually still advancing in my own knowledge in the same field. And I believe, similar to other professions, we should have a future whereby somebody can actually learn sports management and actually be in one of the sport field as a career. And it should be as beneficial monetarily and other benefits similar to any other career. So I believe in setting the structure and ensuring that sport gets the relevance and the programs required to be able to grow.
Over the years, you said you started this off in 2016 when you left campus.
So the business part of it, yes. So after I left campus, I graduated in December 2016. So 2017, January, is when I can say formally the business started. However, for most of these initiatives started when I, around second year, so give it 2014, 2015. Second year, third year, so that by fourth year, 2016, is when I was finalizing, and then now the business took course.
How has been the uptake of chess? How has been the uptake? You've been now, I think you're the first person I've talked to who has been engaged in that field. How has been the uptake from your business, the responses of the youth, especially because you focus on them and others? How has that been for you?
One thing I believe is if you do something very well, if you are serious and you do something to the best of your abilities, success will definitely come. And following our successes and achievements, and more so the impact that we have, currently we have the Chess in Schools program that has now been embraced by our federation. And one other thing I've actually seen is we have actually had the Senate discuss about chess, and they had actually approved whereby KICD, which is the Kenya Institute of Curriculum Development, had even said it can be put in the curriculum eventually. So there are those small initiatives that are happening. And you know, even when the other discussions and other forums are being discussed in other boardrooms and everywhere else, being that we are able to be like a case study or an example that this is actually happening and this is what can be done, is a very good thing. The other uptake is, as I said, we have some players who are being taken by corporates or other big clubs. So enabling a sport or the talent to be able to be scouted and picked by corporates is another thing. Corporates will only come to an area or to a sport when they know there's going to be value to their own brand, and there's something in return for them as well. As much as, yes, they will empower and offer support to the players and to the sports personalities involved, they would also need to see what is, how will their brand grow from that. So far we have been able to see some corporates come in to chess particularly, and it's a good thing. So whenever we're having a corporate, and especially big corporates now, start supporting chess, it shows that there's something they are seeing, that actually there's more potential here. And the other good thing is we have been able to see bigger organizations from USA or from UK and such the European nations being able to come and support what we are doing. So I have noticed that by the virtue of them seeing that, yes, they're doing good things there, and when they want to actually support something in Africa, and for instance, in Kenya, they would see that they can actually collaborate with us, then it's always a good thing. It shows that whatever we are doing is actually appreciated, not only here, but also by other organizations and such.
Wow, that's good to hear. It's good to hear. So as we wind up, what can you say is the teaching, the principle, or the moral of your leadership story?
I can say the first thing I would always mention is about following your passion. Personally, chess was a hobby, which turned to a career, and now it's a business. So following your passion and doing all that is required to be able to grow your passion is the first aspect about anything you do. And after that, you have to ensure that you do it well. So it's going to take a while. One other thing I've noticed with the youths is that instant gratification that sometimes people are subscribed to, or they want something, they enter into a certain field and they want results within 3 months, 6 months, a year. So there are aspects or there are fields that will work, but there are also other fields that you have to be patient, and you have to be able to grow in whatever field you are at. So have the patience to be able to invest the time and the resources in whatever you do. And while you are at it, ensure that you are growing. So the other aspect that I will talk is aim to be the first. So personally, as I said, my biggest goal is always to break the ceiling. So whenever we handle anything, I've always ensured that what can we do that people think is not possible? So we try and prove that that aspect, you people say it's impossible, we try to go around it and ensure we create something out of it. And through that, personally, I've been able to be the first, as I said, international arbiter in Kenya, and now doing very well at the global level. Similar to other programs like a FIDE instructor, these titles are normally given by the world body. For our own programs, and even currently we have this, it's called Fair Play Expert. And there are things that seem to be very European and they're not there. And actually I'm the only Kenyan who is a Fair Play Expert around. So it's always about being good at it, and where things seem that people have not gone in certain fields, how is it possible to do it? Lastly, I will talk about grow your niche. So not everyone is able, even when you have players, not everyone is going to win the marathon, or not everyone will be the national champion and all that. But in whatever way, ensure you're growing. So that is always the big thing and the most important aspect of it. So that as you grow, you will definitely now be able to meet other people. And that's how you meet your destiny connectors. And, you know, it's, you can't stay at one point and expect that things will work. So grow about, meet people, and through such platforms, you're going to actually reach top levels that later you won't even believe. Because personally, when I was starting, no one could say I will be among the top, not only now in Kenya, but in Africa and globally, or I will achieve these awards that I've received so far. And it's always a progressive journey. So at whatever point, once you achieve a certain milestone, set a higher target. Once you achieve that one, set a higher target. That's how growth happens. I know these are examples that have always been said. If you have a small child and they're not growing, there's a big alarm. Why are they not growing? You know, similar to any business, similar to anything that you do. You have to be seeing some progress. And you, at this level, you are having a certain amount. Always aspire to actually get a bigger share of it. Business-wise, different businesses can have different dynamics towards what is required. But for any business, whether it's in manufacturing or in service, like sports, for instance, the most important thing is ensuring that you have diversity in what you do. And I always believe the more options or the more variety you have in whatever you do, you're going to have several people who are able to actually now get value from you. So it's always about the creativity towards it. And yeah, I wish to see more youths achieve the same thing, because they are go-getters, and when they face challenges, see collaboration.
Well, James, wow, thank you so much. Thank you so much for telling us your journey, sharing the nuggets, the bolts, the experiences, the insights. And for me, I'm happy to hear you followed your passion. You got into a niche where many people are not there. You know, you chatted that way. So keep it up. Wish you success. We are proud of you as a Kenyan representing us in those various forums. And we wish you all the best, and may your light continue shining. May we start seeing even you winning more awards and you having greater impact. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
I also appreciate to be here. And I believe by lighting somebody else's candle, that does not make my candle shine less bright. So any opportunity to support and help others be able to also light their candle and do very well, I am always willing and ready to support. I also love to see that other people do other big things. And it's the ripple effect. How do we create the world we want if we do not create the structures and support each other? So my way to give back is always to directly have our programs, but also for others, now fellow leaders, supporting each other. And where possible, I seek mentorship. But if I can be the one offering the mentorship, I'm more than willing. So I'm happy definitely to be here. And gladly, I know we'll meet again very soon when other things happen, and I know greater things are coming. And we believe towards greater success.
Okay, thank you very much, and God bless you and all the best. Bye for now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for joining us in today's podcast. We hope you're leaving with insights that will help you live and lead better. We appreciate our sponsors, BNG Consultants Limited and BNG Center for Leadership Coaching, for keeping us on air. Bye for now. See you in our next episode.